Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. It's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today I'm here with Brad Stevens. He is the CEO of Outsource Access and can be found at outsourceaccess.com. So welcome to the show, Brad.
Thank you, Winter. I appreciate it. Look forward to being here.
All right. So we are going to dive into what you do and how you do it. But before we get started, let's talk about, let's say you had a theme song that you played every time you walked into a room. What would your theme song be and why?
Well, going to my trusty personal custom GPT that has my entire life loaded into it, that I ask all questions such as this. Last question I got was, if I was a DJ, what would my DJ name be? And it was DJ Captain Momentum, because I loaded all my Enneagram, my predictive index, my culture index, all my assessments. So it knows me the best. And so practicing what we preach. Looks like Can't Hold Us by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, right?
Yeah, that's
the entrepreneur entering the arena.
Yep. A lot of the Tony Robbins and the Brandon Bouchards, they do that one. I like that one. So awesome. Okay. So why don't you tell us at a high level what it is that you do?
Well, I recently saw Donald Miller speak. And if you're doing it right, you're not talking about yourself. You're talking about your heroes you're helping, right? And you're the guide along the way. And so we're the guide for small to medium businesses that are trying to redefine how they scale and looking for an alternative path and failed and struggled in the whole offshore outsource staffing world and are looking for a guide, advisor to support them in their journey across all dimensions of their business. And so we're positioning ourselves as a very different, when people think of offshoring and outsourcing and virtual assistants and all of that, there's all these word bubbles that pop up people's heads, right? You know, what about competency? What about language? What about ability? And what about that negative experience I heard my friend have? So we're trying to bring a true, fully trusted and reliable offshore advisory and staffing experience to small to medium business to change the game on how they scale and grow their business across all dimensions, on top line and on bottom line.
Now, Ken has experienced some of what you do, and he's absolutely blown away from how your staff is reaching out on LinkedIn to how you follow up. And so it looks like you've done something really well, but we know that you didn't just start out there. So tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a business leader, a CEO, and how this whole thing kind of came about.
Well, if it didn't emerge out of a crisis or a problem, you know, you're not a true entrepreneur, it feels like these days. I've been a 25-year entrepreneur from Atlanta, Georgia, still live here. And actually, I'm the only person in the U.S. My entire management team and executive team is all in the Philippines. But the immediate, most recent birth of this business, you know, and like most of us in life as an entrepreneur, is the number one characteristic is resilience. And you just kind of keep getting back up and you keep moving the peg around till it drops. And so I've had success, failure, and everything in between. But interestingly, my last business before I launched Outsource Access, we manufactured and distributed teeth whitening products globally. Never thought I'd be in that business, but one thing led to another, ended up being in that business with a partner. We had a dental division, we had a beauty division, and we sold professional teeth whitening systems and products to the dental industry, the beauty industry. And we had one product that was a double-sided product, had teeth whitening gel on one side and lip gloss on the other and little LED lights that lit up. And it was a really successful product for us. And we ordered our next batch from our manufacturer in Taiwan, fully, you know, ISO certified, right? And for all the listeners out there, look, you know, even despite doing everything right, things still kind of track. We had had hundreds of thousands of these units we had ordered, and amazing manufacturer, some of the highest quality cosmetics for companies in the U.S. But one of the suppliers changed one of the components, the bioadhesive glue that held the brush on the end that the teeth whitening gel side, which is hydrogen peroxide, which is very sensitive stuff. Did tell us about it, shipped it to our manufacturer in California, filled the whitening gel. Wouldn't happen immediately, but within 30 days, it would start reacting and they would basically start cracking and blowing up. So we sent about 10,000 grenades globally with this product. And this was the batch that we sent to all the beauty editors as well. And so, you know, that was kind of a very tragic moment. Thought things were going to be going down and I was refunding tons and getting chargebacks. But I had read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week and I had a crisis moment. I had to make cash stretch. And so I dug in and started understanding the global kind of workforce and where do you find people and what can they do? And I heard this whole thing that could get things done low cost. And so I became a student of it. And so I was actually able to save that company by learning and understanding where to find global talent, how to have them work, not replace, but work side by side with my existing staff to do things we weren't able to do to make dollars stretch and help me save that company. And so I saw the impact it had on me and decided I want to bring this to the small to medium business community, you know, in the US. And so, that's what led to that journey. And
so, I mean, what a story though. I mean, that's crazy. Right. And here you are to, fight the good fight and go on another day. So, so now you're helping founders and in that, you know, founders are often the bottleneck of their own company and they don't really realize they are until an aha moment happens. So how do you help business owners identify that exact moment when outsourcing becomes the smartest move instead of hiring locally?
Well, hitting constraint points in business have a lot of different, you know, contributing, you know, factors. And, you know, there's a reason why only 4% of businesses in the United States get over $1 million in revenue, which is kind of crazy to think, right? And we actually have this two question exercise and, you know, and anybody that's, you know, been in entrepreneurship has probably read the E-Myth, right? Which is the essence, right? Do you own a job or do you own a business? And at some point you got to decide, am I going to own a business or am I going to own a job? And when you're going to decide to grow, evolve, build a you know, larger team, delegate, there's actually this two question exercise that we do with companies and we've kept it super simple. I've been asked to complicate it more, but we keep it simple. And it's simply, what are you doing that isn't the best use of your time? Also known as what is not your genius zone. And as cliche as it is, we've all heard this 1,000 times, but it is just still flat the truth. What are you doing that's not in your genius zone? And how many hours are you spending on it per month? And then secondly, you know, what do you want to be doing in the business that you're not getting to due to time, money, or knowledge constraints? And I tell you, when we've done this with startups, we had a $300 million pharmacy we work with in Wisconsin, that the CEO is like, really? Just those two questions? I'm like, yep. And his team came back with 180 items. What are you doing that's not the best use of your time? And what do you want to be doing that you're not getting to? And if you're honest with yourself and you come up with that, there are hundreds of thousands of dollars of revenue locked up in that list. Yeah. And so that's one of the first areas that we start with people. And when you realize a founder is like, you know, when they really put a pencil to it, you got to put a pencil to it. How many hours per month are you spending on it? And when you got a business owner, well, man, I'm spending 22 hours a month chasing after invoices of people that aren't paying us. Well, we repurpose that 22 hours towards you going and closing more deals, which you should be doing, right? What does that, you know, translate into? So it becomes a pretty simple ROI.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of CEOs, they say they want help, but they struggle to delegate. So what are some of the biggest psychological or leadership barriers you see when founders first try to outsource work and how did they overcome them?
And the famous last words of death of the non-scaling person, right? It's easier to do it myself than to try and explain it to someone else, right? And look, been in that trap
and even owned years. I was like, it's just, I will get it done faster by the time I explain it to my assistant.
Exactly. And it's discipline and it's a muscle, right? To take the time to explain it and unpack. Right. And that's that's the thing a lot of times is that, and I even argue that it's chemistry too, with, you know, body chemistry in terms of entrepreneurs and founders and CEOs and so forth. They get into a place where they're living in such a state of fight or flight, right? Which is a human state, right? Of like putting out fires and dealing with things and so forth, that they've had cortisol, right? That's the chemical our body dumps whenever we're in fight or flight. And it's an addictive thing to your body to come out of that vicious cycle. And it's just, yeah. It's easier for me to just firefight and solve. And I don't know anything different. And you get addicted to that cycle where it feels awkward to be in a place of peace of like, oh, I don't have to go get in the middle of all of that. And it's getting done.
Yeah.
So it's a mental shift. A lot of times that people just have to truly make a decision. Like, am I building a business or creating a job? And when they make that transition, that's one of the biggest areas. And then being okay with the 85% rule a lot of times, right? Look, it's like if it can get 85, 90% of the way there or way I would want it get done, and it gets done and I'm able to go focus on my genius zone, it's a win. And there's some people that just aren't wired that way. I got to be knee deep in it. I got to read every single word of every blog. I got to do every single little piece, and they won't get out of their own way. Look, and I speak from a place of being guilty of that still to this day, owning a VA company. I can find myself like, hey, Brad, 85% rule, like, let it get out the door.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about your structure and your setup within your company. So as you've scaled your business, what challenges have taken you by surprise and how have you handled them?
Well, as we were talking kind of at the beginning, we had a pretty hyper growth situation. We launched in 2019, actually right before all the COVID craziness hit. And we grew to 500 employees in about 4.5 years and servicing about 85 industries. And by the way, I'm the only person in the U.S., so I couldn't go to my office in the Philippines for 3 years because of COVID. And so, there were some positive accidents that, that happened because of that. I was about to sign on an office space in February 2020, a traditional office space. And I'm an EO and YPO, and I was meeting my forum. And I said, is this COVID thing real? And they're like, yeah. So I decided not to. So it forced us to build a distributed culture. So it allowed us to tap into talent all over the Philippines and not be constrained to physical office space. So we learned from day one, like how to build a virtual culture, which ended up being hugely valuable for us. But the challenging part of hyper growth is, the leadership that you need in the organization as you grow, right? And we all know that cliche of the people who got you here, kind of won't get you there. And when you're dealing with that kind of growth, you end up having people that, step into roles, or you promote people into leadership roles that are maybe not quite there ready for it, from a maturity and leadership standpoint. And frankly, there's a really great book by Les McKeown called Predictable Success. And he talks about the four stages of growth, and he talks about early struggle, then fun, then whitewater. And whitewater is the turbulence that happens. And a lot of times, a lot of businesses think, oh, I'm just going to add more people to the equation, and that'll help us get things done faster and grow. When in fact, the more nodes that go on the network, right, means there's more communication. And now what used to happen between Winter and Brad, right, now there's three people to hide behind, and accountability gets lost. And frankly, you actually have higher overhead and things are happening slower, right, unless you're wildly disciplined about team architecture and accountability. And so, tremendous success stories and supporting our clients and impact, but along the way, some of that was happening internally. So over the last, 15 to 18 months, I've actually been restacking our entire leadership team and repositioning and evaluating who's the right fit, who's not, right? The right people on the bus as we kind of move forward.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Atlanta too. And when you said Whitewater, I remember as a kid, like my stepmom dropped me and my two brothers off at Whitewater. I don't think I was above 12 years old. My other brothers were like 10 and 8. And she gave us $20. It was like, go have fun, kids. Like, this can't do that anymore. But
oh, I remember I did the same. Whitewater and Six Flags.
Totally.
Monster Plantation at Six Flags. I remember fun rides.
The Great American, is it the Great, the one that goes like this, the Great American, it like breaks your back on it anymore. As a kid, you thought it was
Scream
fun.
Machine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The white, those white boards that look like it's going to fall apart any minute.
It sounds like it's going to too. So.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
So how do you foster a strong company culture, especially when you're in a virtual culture? Because I know many companies struggle with their culture in general. And they're boots on ground and they're all hands at the office, but like, how do you do it in a virtual way?
Well, I was fortunate enough, and culture has always been something that's been very important to me in all of my businesses, how we treat our people and realizing that, you know, compensation and benefits and, you know, the razor scooters in the office during all the dot-com days and so forth are kind of table stakes. Fundamentally, human beings just want to know that they exist and be recognized, and they want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. You know, those are two fundamental human things that, regardless of everything else, right, especially in today's world and the younger generation, I mean, more than ever, you better have a good why behind what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
They want to be a part of something more significant. And so when I first started Outsource Access and when my first VAs that I hired actually off a job board, this young woman became my, this is the first role she had had working for me. And she became my COO over 500 people, her ability to raise her lid and to grow.
Yeah.
But a couple months after working with her, she showed me a picture, of these shoes in a circle in a village. And she said, "Brad, because the money that I'm making working with you, I was actually able to pay it forward and go buy all these shoes for these kids that have to walk, you know, an hour and a half back and forth to school."
That's amazing.
And, you know, I've always had a give back nature, and I had a chance actually to speak at the United Nations headquarters in New York because of EO. We had about 250 entrepreneurs that came in to understand how can we understand the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, which some people have heard of and some not. I hadn't at the point. But it's basically, you know, frameworks around how to have an impact on humanity and society. And so those combined with Jay Sell, I said, you know what? I'm not sure where this company is going to go, but we're going to have a major give back initiative and let our employees drive it. Right. And so we would survey our employees kind of every quarter and say, "Hey, which of our, you know, these goals care, do you care most about, you know, in their life on land, life below water, you know, zero hunger." And so every quarter, we do a major initiative, and it's not my passion project or the CEO's passionate about, you know, clean waterways. So I make everybody go down that path. I let our employees drive it. We survey them and then I fund it. So we've planted hundreds of trees to offset carbon emissions. We've provided tons of support for victims that have, you know, navigated with hurricanes and earthquakes. And most recently, what I'm most proud of is our employees are really passionate about this pediatric cancer center in the Philippines with about 200 kids. They were about to lose their building. And we helped fund saving that building for them. And on my last trip, we got a chance to go visit all the kids that were there. So creating a sense of connection and letting the employees drive it. And we actually launched our own magazine. We're the only company in the Philippines that has our own magazine called Virtual Success Magazine. We actually have one on my desk here. We actually showcase, this is dedicated to our employees. We put our employees on the cover of it.
I saw all on the inside. This is so awesome. Like, I can't even imagine what my VA would feel like if she was on the cover of a magazine. You know, it's great goodwill, and it's also giving them recognition. And I don't think people realize how hard these people work. I mean, they're up in the middle of the night and they do it every single night, and they're really, really solid people doing hard work. And so I love that you're like recognizing them for that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's probably the most fulfilling, you know, company I've ever had, because, you know, we get to have a huge impact on our clients. And I mean, the stories I've seen and helping our clients scale and grow in a way they never thought was possible, and seeing small to medium businesses be able to do things they weren't able to do because of getting highly competent but affordable staff working side by side. But then our employees, I mean, seeing them flourish and grow, and they're so appreciative of what we do for them and to support them. And yeah, I mean, we literally, we make zero, you know, income from this. This is just an inside. It's showcasing all of our people, and we come in and do a big photo shoot with them and celebrate their, you know, their journey. And I'll say EOS, and I know a lot of, you know, listeners here, EOS has been a huge part of our business. When I was growing, not being able to go there for 3 years, there was actually an implementer for EOS in the Philippines, one of the only ones in Southeast Asia that fortunately was a part of EO organization. And I mean, was incredible. And that helped us establish, you know, our mission, our core values, kind of our vision plan. And so that's had a big influence, you know, for us and still run to this day, how we kind of shaped our culture and approach.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big part of the listeners, but not everybody knows it. And not everybody's using it, but the fact that you leverage outsourced talent to use it, I think is definitely a unique angle that we don't typically get on this podcast. So what are some of the top things impacting your industry right now? They could be positive or negative.
I'd say, I mean, on a negative, you know, if you will, side per se, is that, you know, in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of people that, you know, decided, hey, they want to get into this outsourcing offshore, you know, business. And they kind of throw a shingle up and, you know, throw a website up, and they have no idea like what it really takes to do this type of business correctly. And especially to do it right, you really need to incorporate, which we did in the Philippines, and hire everybody's full-time employees so we can attract talent that want to do this long-term and be sustainable. But you know, the last couple of years, there's a lot of people that just thought they'd get in it and had no idea what they were doing. And so it created a lot of noise in the market and you know, some negative experiences that some people had that we had to kind of navigate. And I'm slowly seeing all these fizzle out, and some of them that were funded by private equity that threw a bunch of cash behind them. And I mean, they were charging tons of money, and PE was making them charge a ton, and they were not paying people well at all. So that's an area that's, you know, caused a lot of noise and challenge. You know, on the AI side, which is obviously, you know, front and center in every other word we say these days, everybody's like, Brad, aren't you worried about AI is going to crush your business and so forth? Not at all. Primarily first, because in the small to medium business market, I mean, you can have a product that makes you walk on water, but the capacity of the small to medium business owner to actually have time to meet, you know, with a sales rep and understand these AI products and how they're going to integrate them into their business and so forth, just the capacity, you know, isn't there. And so we train all of our staff in AI tools and platforms and Gemini and Claude and ChatGPT. So we kind of see the value of a, you know, the human plus learning the AI tools together, kind of 1 + 1 = 4. I mean, I got my VA cranking and running Claude platforms for me kind of all day long. Even though it does it quickly, like, I still don't have time to go run the stuff. And particularly when it comes to software, that's one of the biggest constraints we see in a lot of small to medium businesses. And we're in 80 plus industries, and we run about 150 software applications. We find that's one of the first things that a lot of clients ask. They're like, hey, we got House Call Pro, or we have Service Titan, or we've got HubSpot. Like, can you help us maximize it? Because, you know, I don't feel like we're getting all the value, because their existing employees are got a million other things on their plate, so they're only using a fraction. Or they have turnover and they walk out the door. So we're seeing a big opportunity. I mean, software is becoming a big focus. And so we're building entire teams trained on helping businesses maximize the value of their enterprise software.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what's next for you and your company? Any new projects or new directions on the horizon?
You know, we launched Outsource Access initially. We did a lot of, you know, executive assistant type of work, and we still do, you know, a lot of that. But when I looked at, you know, the way we've built our business and what we offer with clients, we're more of an advisory and staffing solution. So like, when people engage with us, we help them figure out like how to best use offshore staff, right? Because a lot of people want to go down this path and journey. Some people come to us and they know exactly what they're looking for. Hey, I need some accounting and bookkeeping help or what have you. But others are like, I know there's a way for me to take advantage of this. I'm just not sure how. Kind of how AI is, right? It's like, I know there's something great ChatGPT can do for me, but how? So really positioning ourselves as an advisory operation to help people figure out their constraints, kind of do that 2-question exercise, and then, you know, really find the right resource to plug in, you know, and then we have a tight 90-day integration process to help make sure they're successful. Then we create playbooks, we document, we do monthly performance business reviews with them. So really shifting ourselves to a full advisory integrated staff, you know, solution versus just a commoditized, you know, just pure assistant or call center, which we've kind of never really, you know, never really been. Yeah. So that's a key shift for us. And then the software element, I mean, it's become such a big element. We're actually kind of launching a subdivision called Virtual Software Pros that I announced on stage when I was in the Philippines at our offices there back in November, where we're partnering with and we're building entire teams to run Restaurant 365 and House Call Pro and, you know, Service Titan and these software applications, because we see there's a real value. They think it's a whole new niche that's coming, that you're going to hire offshore or external resources to run your business software because your existing employees aren't able to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So just a couple more questions here. If you had to do it all over again, speaking to a younger self or a less experienced self, what would your advice be?
You know, the thing I always reference is, and I'm a massive Jim Collins person, you know, and a quick cheer. If anybody has ever gone to jimcollins.com on his website, if you go to jimcollins.com and click on concepts, he's taken all of his books and put it into this tight thing called the map. It's one of the most brilliant. In 20 minutes, he basically covers 40 years worth of stuff and all the key principles from all of his seven books. Huh. But the any CEO that's on here, I cannot tell you, please go to check that out. It is unbelievable.
I'm putting it in to look at when we get off.
Yeah, a lot of people think about Good to Great and Jim Collins, but they don't think he's written seven books and the map, and it's fully interactive, but it's disciplined people with disciplined thought, with disciplined action to be built to last. And all his concepts, the hedgehog concept and bullets for cannonballs, he drops into that map and kind of explains it. But it all starts with disciplined people and right people on the bus. And, you know, going back to my earlier entrepreneurial self, you know, I'd like, oh, let's get the person that's only, you know, $50,000 versus 75, right? And little do I know that that wrong choice would cost me epically more than the $15,000 premium to get the right person in the right seat, you know, moving forward. So I, you know, highly encourage people to first really take time to measure 10 times and cut once when you are hiring and bringing people on, and push to get, you know, pay the extra premium for the right kind of people in the seat, you know, using tools like predictive index or culture index and assessments. And we actually do something called a paid project. I actually learned from Dan Martell, our recent marketing director we hired. We actually, after we do all the interviews and all the assessments and you tell me how good all you are at things, now I want to see it in action and I'll pay you for it. And so I do have a paid project and they have to do a full project and produce it as a final outcome that we pay them for. So I can see that they can actually put the stuff into action. So double down on the right people in the right seats, and it makes a big impact.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Final question. If somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Well, we really pride ourselves on our website. And like I said, a lot of people going down this path have, you know, a lot of questions about how does it work and what do these people sound like and what are they capable of? But at outsourceaccess.com, you go to our website and you can see a ton of videos and content. I've done over 100 video interviews with our staff and hearing about their journey and the impact they're having with our clients. And on there, you'll see I've actually got a podcast called How Outsourcing and AI Works for Small to Medium Business, where I bring on clients and others in this space and share their journey. So outsourceaccess.com, and you can download a bunch of different guides and resources, book a call. But anybody that's listening, if you want to shoot an email to tools, T-O-O-L-S, tools with an S, at outsourceaccess.com, and just put shift in the subject line. You don't have to write a message or anything. Just put that in the subject line. You know where it came from. We'll send you a whole collection of resources, including our two question exercise that has over 700 tasks that we've done over the years, organized by marketing, operations, customer service, sales. So you can kind of scan through and see what are the types of things, you know, that, you know, a virtual assistant and offshore staff can help your business with. Happy to send that your way.
Yeah. Awesome. So for all the listeners, just email tools at Outsource Access with shift from the shift spotlight. So awesome. Well, I've enjoyed having you today. I think you're onto something here. I think there's a real need for incredible talent at the executive level. And I love everything about what you're doing.
Thanks, Wayne. I appreciate it. And same to all of you. Thanks for doing the podcast and time. I know it takes a lot of time and energy to bring on guests and put it together and get it produced and put out there. And Appreciate you
Thank you
spreading the
for
message.
acknowledging that. We do appreciate that because I don't think people see what happens in the back scene, but yes,
Now
thank
we produce a lot of podcasts for people with our staff, so I certainly know, and one myself included, they don't realize the number of moving parts to get all these things
Yeah.
assembled and out there.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.